Howdy, I'm Jeremy Kitchen with a brief preview of what's ahead this week in Texas. On this week's episode, we'll discuss the second special legislative session, which began over the weekend, and the prospects for quorum to return to the House of Representatives, potentially allowing them to finally conduct legislative business. Buckle up for your preview of the week ahead in Texas politics. Today marks day three of the second called special legislative session. As you may recall, the first special session concluded on Friday of last week, ultimately not accomplishing any of the items on Governor Greg Abbott's agenda due to the House of Representatives being paralyzed and unable to conduct legislative business ever since quorum was busted in early July. When Abbott announced the agenda for the current special session last Thursday, it left many Texans scratching their heads, asking what will change or what would be done to compel absent Democrats to actually return this time, seeing as how Republican leadership was generally reluctant to do anything about it last time, even at times enabling their behavior. This new agenda includes all of the items on the previous one, with some notable additions. These additions include legislation allocating federal COVID relief funds from the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021. It also includes bills related to public education and providing strategies to aid in kindergarten through the 12th grade to navigate the COVID-19 pandemic, seeing as how the fall semester of public school will begin shortly. Abbott added the consideration of the potential delay in primary elections as a result of the delayed census data and redistricting process. He also added the consideration of statewide preemption of things like mandatory paid sick leave. Interestingly, he also included consideration of legislative quorum requirements. When the House convened at noon on Saturday, they once again did so with no quorum or not enough lawmakers present to actually conduct legislative business. Quickly after the invocation and the pledges to the U.S. and Texas flag, Republican State Representative Morgan Meyer of Dallas made a motion to adjourn the House until today at 4 p.m., precluding anyone from making an additional parliamentary motion known as Call of the House. This motion, if made, would have directed the House Sergeant-at-Arms to seek out absent lawmakers under warrant of arrest. The same motion was made in the previous special session once a majority of absent Democrat lawmakers busted quorum on July 13th, just 5 days in to the 30-day first special session. As a result of adjourning, the House could not do much of anything, let alone refer bills that had already been filed or conduct committee hearings. In contrast, the Senate convened with everyone in attendance and immediately referred several bills to committees, while also simultaneously suspending certain rules to ensure that those same committees could hold hearings on those bills over the weekend. By the end of the weekend, the Senate committees had already considered 12 bills. They heard bills on the so-called 13th check for beneficiaries of the Teachers Retirement System of Texas, of which they later voted out unanimously. They considered the bill seeking to restore funding for the legislature since it was vetoed by Abbott in retaliation for some of his emergency legislative priorities dying in the waning days of the regular session, ultimately leaving it pending for now. They also heard a bill relating to supplemental appropriations to various state agencies based on the revised biennial revenue estimate from Texas Comptroller Glenn Hager, also leaving that temporarily pending. The Senate Committee on Jurisprudence considered two bills related to bail reform. This is, of course, one of those emergency legislative items of Abbott's from the regular session. They also considered the bill relating to family violence and the bills relating to potentially delaying primary elections. All of the bills that that committee heard were voted out unanimously. The Senate Committee on Local Government considered three bills relating to property tax exemptions and something they continue to argue is relief, even though critics argue it's a drop in the bucket to what's actually needed for Texans to feel an impact. All were voted out unanimously. The Senate Committee on Health and Human Services heard the bill relating to youth sports and ensuring children play sports that are associated with their gender that's on their birth certificate. They also heard the bill relating to abortion-inducing drugs. Adding to their fast pace, the Senate Committee on State Affairs is set to consider the Omnibus Election Integrity Bill today. The Senate Special Committee on Constitutional Issues is set to consider the bill dealing with what constitutes a legislative quorum for both the House of Representatives and Senate today as well. The Senate Committee on Business and Commerce is set to hear the bill relating to mandatory sick leave. Tuesday, the Senate Committee on Education will consider the bill relating to COVID-19 strategies for public education. And lastly, the Senate State Affairs Committee will again meet Tuesday to consider the bill relating to social media censorship. All this is to say the Senate is moving quickly, similar to how they approached the same issues in the previous special session. I wanted to briefly interrupt the podcast to put in a plug for the Texas Scorecard Fellowship. Do you know someone who's 18 to 25 years old with an interest in public policy, effective civic engagement, political accountability, and Texas history? The program details, FAQ, and the application can be found in today's show notes page or at the Texas Scorecard website at texasscorecard.com/fellowship. The program has three tracks, and even though a fellow will be exposed to all three, you can apply for a particular area of emphasis. These tracks include writing, research, and administration and management. You can apply now for slots in the fall, spring, and summer programs. The program does not require applicants to be enrolled in a 2 or 4 year college or university, and those who qualify will be afforded a $2,000 per month stipend for the duration of the program. It's our goal to provide for the insight and know-how to better prepare for conservative leaders. Make sure to check out the program today. Now back to the show. When the House of Representatives attempted to gavel in Saturday, notably there were a few more Democrat lawmakers present, some of whom who had previously helped bust quorum in the first special session. One of those lawmakers was State Representative Eddie Lucio III from Brownsville, who indicated in an interview afterwards that he believed several of his Democrat colleagues will be returning to Austin this week, likely establishing a quorum again. This correlates with additional reports that at least 22 of the lawmakers who are currently residing in Washington, D.C. will remain there to continue to lobby the U.S. Congress and U.S. Senate in their efforts to get federal legislation passed addressing elections. Theoretically, if all 83 Republicans are present, the 8 Democrat lawmakers that registered present Saturday, the House would only need an additional 9 Democrat lawmakers to make quorum at 100. Reportedly, several Republican lawmakers have currently contracted COVID. The actual amount is unknown, but the assumption is that it is some variance of the 9 Republican lawmakers that were absent on Saturday when the House of Representatives attempted to gavel in for the first day of the second special session. The assumption is that the number will be made more clear this week, as reportedly some of those Republicans are currently in quarantine. In the event the House can establish a quorum, the situation remains precarious. It's likely that the order by which the House considers the bills on the agenda will be important, as to not upset the proverbial apple cart and potentially give cause for Democrat lawmakers that did return to then leave again. Whether penalties will be exacted on absent lawmakers remains to be seen. Using recent history as a guide, however, it looks unlikely. All of the lawmakers that broke quorum still retain their chairmanships, their vice chairmanships, committee membership, and seniority privileges. Do you know someone who stepped up as a citizen leader in your neighborhood or community? The 2021 Texas Conservative Leader Awards will take place on Saturday, December 4th in Irving, Texas. You can nominate someone for an award by completing the nomination form located on the texasscorecard.com website or in today's show notes page by October 1st. You can also purchase tickets yourself to attend and surround yourself with conservative leaders from all across the state. Make sure to check it out today. Y'all, I'm Jeremy Kitchen for Texas Scorecard, and that was your preview for this week in Texas. For daily updates on politics and policy, make sure to follow us on social media and visit our website, texasscorecard.com, to be better informed. I'll see y'all next week. Take care.